Next Outdoor Radio, a monthly feature that takes us outside to explore the natural world. Today, biologists Kent McFarland and Sarah Zahendra of the Vermont Center for Eco Studies are joined by scientists from the Vermont Nature Conservancy, who are working to restore the American elm to Vermont's landscape.
About 100 years ago or more, Sarah, the streets of Vermont were lined with American elm trees. They were gorgeous shade trees.
Some of them grew up to 140 feet tall.
And then somewhere around 1930 or so, Dutch elm disease hit and really quickly wiped out a lot of these gorgeous shade trees.
Hundreds of thousands of these elms were decimated. They just disappeared.
And now a lot of biologists and arborists are on the hunt for the best specimens that are still left, the ones that can resist this disease. And today, we're here in Plainfield along a dirt road, kind of in the middle of nowhere with an amazing view of the Green Mountains, and we're underneath a gorgeous American elm tree.
And if you're looking to find elm trees, look for something that looks like a giant vase, because that's kind of what they look like. They're sort of like an umbrella at the top almost.
Well, today we're going to meet Christian Marks from the Connecticut River Project and Rose Paul from the Vermont Nature Conservancy, and they're trying to bring this tree back from the brink.
They have an elm restoration project where they are breeding resistant strains, and so they are planting these saplings at different spots along the Connecticut River Valley to try and restore these elm trees to their former glory.
Well, they're waiting for us up this dirt road, so let's walk up the road and meet them and see what we're going to do with this elm tree. I'm Kent McFarland.
And I'm Sarah Zahendra.
We're biologists with the Vermont Center for Eco Studies.
Welcome to Outdoor Radio. Hi.
Hi, I'm Christian Marks.
Nice to meet you, Christian.
I work for the Connecticut River Program at the Nature Conservancy.
And we're with Rose Paul, too. Good to see you, Rose.
Hey, Kent.
From the Nature Conservancy of Vermont.
That's right.
Well, it looks like Mac's ready to climb. You guys want to see what he's up to?
Yeah, let's go watch him climb to the top of this beautiful elm. And so you're going all the way up into the top of this tree.
I'll be going at least to where my rope comes over that branch, yeah.
Which is, I mean, how many feet do you think that is on your rope?
I'm probably at 65 or 70 feet.
All right, better you than me then.
And yeah. You've done this before, right?
Yeah, okay, I've been good. Up as high as 130 feet.
Okay. Yeah.
So, Christian, have you coached him on what branches you want, or does he just know what he's picking?
He's got some flexibility, but in general, the higher the branches and the more sun exposed, the more flower buds they have.
How many branches do you intend to come away with?
A half dozen branches, a half inch in diameter is enough.
So, Mac, are you where you want to be now? You're at the height?
This is as high as I'll go, and I'm going to start cutting.
And so you're going to let us know before something comes falling down,
exactly.
Right? Okay, good.
Down she goes.
I'm seeing mostly leaf buds. I'm not seeing flower buds on this one, so that could be a problem.
Mac, that first one you sent didn't have flower buds on it. I don't know if you can go more, like, towards the south.
Yeah, I can try.
You see the really fat, wide ones like this?
That's
a flower bud.
Okay.
And then these pointy ones are leaf buds.
Oh, and I see a lot of flower buds on this one.
Yeah, this one's better. But ideally, you'd want, like, four flower buds on each twig. It varies from year to year on every tree. We'll use the leaf buds to try to root these and propagate them that way as well.
So do you take cuttings from this tree every year?
This is the first time we're taking it from this one. And
but you find elms from all sorts of different places. Where are you getting these elms?
I've collected in Vermont, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and eastern New York. We don't know what the future will bring, but it'll have challenges, and we want them to be able to adapt. And the disease itself will continue to evolve. And so if you just had one resistant tree, the disease might overcome that mechanism. But if you have multiple resistant trees, then they can co-evolve with the disease and stay ahead of it.
Can you tell us a little bit about the disease that we keep talking about?
The disease is called Dutch elm disease, but it's actually not from Holland. It's actually from Asia. It's just the Dutch scientist was the first one to identify it. And it did get to us via Europe, though. So the European elms are also decimated by this disease. At some point, somebody sent logs, came into New York, and then were transported on the railroad. The bark beetles came out of the logs, and they were carrying the spores of this fungal disease. The prevailing winds from kind of took it from New York into New England. So New England has had the disease amongst the longest. And that helps us actually in identifying trees, because a tree like this would have been exposed, you know, through several cycles of the disease. It comes in waves.
How are those looking for flowers?
This one's great. The little one is excellent, Matt. Okay. The wide buds are the flower buds, so there's a couple here.
How long until these open?
So the next step in the process is we're going to courier these overnight to our Forest Service partner. And in a few days in that warm indoor environment, those flower buds are going to open and they're going to drop their pollen. And then we can take that outside to where the mother trees are going to be, trees that have already been shown to be highly tolerant to Dutch elm disease, and then use the pollen from this tree to pollinate those.
This is like Match.com. For elm trees.
Well, and they're getting the royal treatment, too. They get their own room. And
this is amazing.
This is nice.
There are about 1 in 10,000 elms that have elevated tolerance.
Oh, okay.
And this is why the dating service is so important to bring them together, because they wouldn't find each other on their own. So part of the reason this work is so important is that the disease continues to evolve, and we need genetic diversity in the tolerant population so it can stay ahead of the disease.
So, Rose, when you go to plant one of these, how do you pick the spot you put it?
We're looking for places that are open so they get a lot of sunlight. It's
favorable. So like a canopy gap type thing?
Yeah. Or even a lot of these places are old agricultural fields that were too wet and they were let go. So they're open sun, very favorable to young trees growing.
You've already planted some out, right, with Nature Conservancy of Vermont.
Yeah, we have a few thousand trees already
along
the Connecticut River.
Not just a few.
Well, that's what amazes me, because this is really a floodplain species, even though we're up here on the hill, right? And I'm wondering, like, are there places that I can go and see these open to the public or not?
Yeah, you can. Right now, you can go to the Johnson Farm Wildlife Management Area in Canaan and Leamington. It spans the two towns, and you can see most of our plantings there. You can go out to the Nature Conservancy's Floodplain Forest Preserve in Maidstone, right on the Connecticut River. We've got some there. This is a beautiful elm project, but it's also a beautiful floodplain forest restoration project where floodplain forests do great things for water quality. They do great things for wildlife habitat.
People can actually also get involved in helping, right? And I'm wondering, what would be some of the best varieties of trees they could look for at some of the nurseries in their area that maybe they could plant in their yards or around their area?
There are some American elm cultivars that you can buy at local garden centers that have a high level of tolerance to disease. They can still get the disease and die, but 19 times out of 20 they'll survive. And two of those are called Princeton and Valley Forge. Another one is called New Harmony.
Well, thank you guys so much for letting us tag along and watch your work today. I found it absolutely fascinating.
I'm looking forward to seeing some of these sometime grow in the floodplain.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that I can find them at my local nursery so I can plant them around my house.
I'm Kent McFarland.
And I'm Sarah Zahendra.
Thanks for listening to Outdoor Radio.
Outdoor Radio is produced in collaboration with the Vermont Center for Eco Studies with support from Heritage Engineering in Wethersfield. You can see photos and find links to learn more at vpr.net.